If you're looking for a good food read, might we recommend Chef Gabriel Hamilton's memoir, Blood, Bones, and Butter, The Inadvertent Education of a Reluctant Chef. It's out in paperback this month. Chef Anthony Bourdain called it simply the best memoir by a chef, ever. Gabriel writes about growing up in rural Pennsylvania in a romantic, converted old silk mill, the daughter of a French ballerina who ruled the house with an oily wooden spoon, and a set designer father who, at the yearly spring lamb roast they threw for neighbors and fancy New York friends, would slowly baste lambs from a clean metal paint can filled with olive oil, crushed rosemary garlic, and chunks of lemon.
All day long, as we did our chores, the smell of gamey lamb, applewood smoke, and rosemary garlic marinade commingled and became etched into our brains. I have clung to it for 30 years, that smell. I have a chronic summertime yearning to build large fires outdoors and slowly roast whole animals. I could sit fireside and baste until sundown.
It seemed magical. Until it wasn't. When she was 13, Gabrielle's parents divorced spectacularly. As she writes, her menopausal, rage-filled mom decamped to Vermont, and Gabrielle was left to fend for herself. Gabrielle Hamilton's hit New York restaurant is called Prune. Again, her memoir, Blood, Bones, and Butter. When we spoke last year, she told us more about her early memories of food with her elegant mom getting raw milk from a local farm.
My mother is rather extraordinary that she could get down and buy raw milk in our recycled plastic container while wearing a high heel and her hair pulled back neatly. Mm-hmm. She taught me a lot that I use in the restaurant now in terms of, she had a very distinct sense of thrift, rather fastidious cleaning impulses as well. And she knew how to get everything comestible from the shin or neck of some animal. I mean, she was feeding a family of seven on my father's rather mercurial artist paycheck. So I learned from her sort of the nitty-gritty of what I've come to use now running Prune. My dad has that massive sense of generosity. He's always giving, and he likes to have big parties, and he's very social, and he's thinking of the smell of wood smoke as the guests arrive. So that I get some of that, too. I like to throw a party, and I really like people. So,
well, you know, and that's probably what makes it harder. You know, when they split, Mom moves to Vermont. Dad stays but is sort of checked out. What she left behind, cans of sardines, stale Triscuits, you know, you're feeding yourself at 13.
I kind of learned to cook by opening jars and cans of strange things that my mother had left behind there in the pantry. And at the same time, I knew that I needed money. So I headed into town. I thought, well, I'm going to work in a restaurant. That's probably a good thing for me to do. And as soon as they led me into the kitchen, I felt comfortable right away, and I've, of course, spent 30 years in a kitchen since.
Well, and this began your long road working in kitchens, catering services, a summer camp, but it also began this life of, oh, lying about your age, you know, experimenting with drugs, dropping in and out of school.
Well, as soon as I found myself on my own, I immediately began to cultivate a kind of chain smoking, very obscene language kind of character, I think, as a defense.
Let's take you to New York. You get to New York. You're still underage, working waitress in a bar. You write there's a complicated system. I mean, who knew? But you describe for us this complicated system that waitresses used in bars.
Well, I was engaged in a scam there that I ended up getting busted for and charged with grand larceny and possession of stolen property.
Well,
and fortunately, I was underage, and so I slipped out of that one.
Then you moved to the catering business, which is huge in Manhattan. You've been exposed to some of the most amazing things that catering can yield, things like edible gold leaf floating in champagne flutes or pale green sugar glass blown into the shapes of apples. So what did you glean from the catering industry?
The wonderful thing about catering as opposed to restaurant work is that you will be handling such a variety of ingredients in the very same day, so that you are doing, let's say, a Moroccan dinner for one place and a modern hors d'oeuvres that something will be showing up at the Modern Art Museum later. You know, so you are handling a wide variety of ingredients, and it's a tremendous exposure. Whereas when you work in a restaurant, let's say you work in a Northern Italian restaurant, you're not ever going to know what toasted couscous is, and you will not probably touch much cilantro or things like that. So yeah. That was the best part of catering. What I also ended up loving about it in the end is that it really taught me everything I did not want to do when I eventually opened my restaurant. I did not want to have food that was touched by possibly six people by the time it went into the tummy of the guest.
Right. Or, you know, sat on a delivery truck for, a day, you know, in that
That's right. It really informed me when I opened Prune that this would be a place where I could cook it in the pan, probably using nothing more than a wooden spoon, set it immediately onto the plate and onto your table. It would not be pre-cooked, par-cooked, broken down into several components and done on different days of the week, and I would pretty much be the only person touching that food.
Yeah. I want to touch on another chapter in your life, again, before you get to Prune. You realize you had this desire to write, and this also may be born from your mother who gave you your first journal, but you make your way to Ann Arbor. You're in a writing program there. That doesn't go that well, but you meet you meet a woman, and her way of cooking blows you away.
Yeah, when I was 30-something, I decided to go to the University of Michigan and get a degree just to see if I could be a writer. I had wanted to be a writer my whole life. And I arrived and needed to get a job immediately, so I got a job at a catering company, and I met the chef there, Misty. She knew so much about every ingredient. She knew how to can it, pickle it, smoke it. Plus, she had grown it. And she was cooking in a way that triggered my past, which I had forgotten in a way. I'd been working in these industrial, horrible kitchens for so long that that became my cooking style, even though it was so not what I was born into. And Misty really conjured all that for me. And so I came back with my MFA and opened a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, there's other chapters, too. You traveled the world. You went to France, did the hostel scene. But you come across this really decrepit site, encrusted espresso machines, rat feces, dishes in the sink. This was an abandoned restaurant. But in your mind, you saw what?
It was electrifying. I could see in there this little 30-seat gem. The stove was very close to the dining room, obviously, because it's my restaurant is as big as nothing. Your closet, probably. And I knew that I could cook honestly, and the way that I wanted to eat in that space, it just caught me.
What is the appeal for you, given how much work it is?
I love this work. The insanities that are inherent in kitchen work happen to correspond to my own, so that works out well. It's like, I'm a little bit crazy, this industry's a little bit crazy, but I love that it's so tangible and tactile what you've done by the end of the day. At 5 o'clock, there is your food at the ready. It's also a place, a kitchen, where the whole human condition, if you will, exists. There's competition and jealousy and celebration and joy and loneliness. Everything is there, right there. So it's a place brimming with life, and that appeals to me so much, particularly as I've started to write, which is, I guess, as we all know who do it, very lonely and very isolated. And to have now the two things in my life is such a pleasure.
That's Gabrielle Hamilton, chef and owner of Prune Restaurant. By the way, Prune, your childhood nickname. the memoir is Blood, Bones, and Butter, The Inadvertent Education of a Reluctant Chef. Gabrielle, thanks so much.
I thank you.